In my first story, I want to remind you, before I shave, I am blonde. So keep that in mind. A blonde called out, asking her husband to help her with a very difficult jigsaw puzzle. She couldn't figure out how to start it. She called him from the other room, and so hearing her, he said, "Well, honey, what is it supposed to look like?" And she said, "Well, on the box, it's supposed to look like a tiger." And so he came in and studied for a couple minutes. He said, "Honey, there is no way with these pieces that we're going to be able to make a tiger. The best thing for us to do now is to put all the frosted flakes back in the box." Hopefully, with God's help, we can find a bit more resolution to the things that puzzle us in life. Let's pray. God, there's so many things in life that surprise us that we cannot predict. Instead of reacting or responding in kind to the hardship, we ask that you would give us soft hearts. Help us to learn what it means to sacrifice on behalf of others, and for us to love them the way you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know, 1 month I preached in the Old Testament, the next month in the New. Right now in the New Testament, I'm in the book of Hebrews. In the Old Testament, I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 10, 5 to 20. If you have your Bible with you or technological device, you can follow along. If not, you can just read the backboard as Ernie's put the words up there. I'm going to read it to you. Ecclesiastes 10, 5 to 20. "There's an evil that I've seen under the sun, as great an error as if it proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I've seen slaves on horseback and princes walking on foot like slaves. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones will be hurt by them, and whoever splits logs will be endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not whet the edge, then more strength must be exerted, but wisdom helps one to succeed. If the snake bites before it's charmed, there's no advantage in the charmer. Words spoken by the wise bring them favor, but the lips of fools consume them. The words of their mouths begin in foolishness, and their talk ends in wicked madness. Yet fools talk on and on. No one knows what it is to happen, and who can tell anyone what the future holds? The toil of fools wears them out, for they do not even know the way to town. Alas for you, O land, when your king is a servant and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is a nobleman and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence the house leaks. Feasts are made for laughter, wine gladness for life. Money meets every need. Do not curse the king, even in your thoughts, or even curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, or some winged creature to tell the matter." The book of Ecclesiastes is placed within the wisdom literature of the Bible. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, King Solomon affirms the wisdom of what it means to live in submission and not be short-sighted. The instant gratification most seek often fills us today, but leaves us empty going forward in the future. Good and wise planning will help us get to the desired destination. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Solomon looks at how we really do reap what we plant. Instead of being unsatisfied with what we don't have, we should turn our eyes to the things that we've been given and celebrate them. Every good gift that comes our way has come from our Father above, who loves and cares for us, his children. In the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10, the king speaks about how elusive real wisdom is. I think when we begin walking with God, we can make a lot of really good choices and reap the benefits of our decisions. But we must not stop here. It's easy to become complacent. In fact, this is what happens to Solomon. Early in his life, when he realized he was in over his head as a young king, he made a practice to humbly seek God. He genuinely recognized he did not have the answers, so he had submitted himself before the Lord. The result is that God poured his wisdom into the contrite king. But it doesn't end well. Solomon ends up depending on his own wisdom instead of trusting in God. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. The marriages were to strengthen his political allegiances, so he'd be safe from war. Contrast this with Psalms 44:3, and who protected the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm. It's because you favored them. You smiled on them. You loved them. When God is for us, who can be against us? Solomon got comfortable and started to shift his trust on horses, on chariots, and the strengths of other kings. It says that Solomon's heart was turned away from God because of his wives who worshipped every kind of idol under the sun. We equally can move from being in God's presence to operating in our own strength. We shift from being dependent on the Lord to attempting to run and control everything in our own strength and power. In today's passage, the king points to some of the ironies of life that make one scratch their head and ponder, how really does this work out? We start the passage in Ecclesiastes 10, 8 to 5. 5 to 8. There's an evil I've seen under the sun, a great error as if it proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in low place. And I've seen slaves on horseback and princes walking on foot like slaves. When kings or people in high places, like politicians and business people, make mistakes because of their foolishness, there will be problems. Usually it's not a simple trickle-down effect. It's more like a tidal wave. When things are going good, the person on top takes credit. And when things sour, look out below, because someone will be blamed. And then there's the problem of those in charge putting people in decision-making positions when they're not capable because of friendship, a relative, or some other kind of factor. Has this ever happened where you worked or in the government and the person over you did not know their job? Sometimes it's not their fault or their own. They just don't have the skills or the training. The end result in the situation will be nothing but trouble for all involved. A great example of this in the sporting world was with a young man named Jeremy Lin. He wasn't drafted but signed on with an NBA team. He never had much of a chance to play, but before he was, they put him on waivers. Picked up by another team, waived again. Picked up by the New York Knicks, who had no intention of playing him, but they had injuries. So Jeremy Lin went on a phenomenal run before being injured and out the rest of the season. He went from getting no playing time at all in the development leagues, which is below the NBA, to one of the most exciting players in pro basketball. How did no one else see his ability? Other players who were not as talented were playing in front of him. Solomon's point, we can have both riches and wisdom, but it really doesn't add up to much without God. To put it another way, when we walk with God, we don't need much else. In Ecclesiastes 10, 8 to 11, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones will be hurt by them. Whoever splits logs will be endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and no one does not whet the edge, then more strength is exerted. But wisdom helps to succeed. If a snake bites before it's charmed, there's no advantage of the charmer. In verse 8 and 9, you wonder what you can do without getting hurt. If you dig a well, you might fall in. If you knock an old well down, you might get bitten by a snake. Well, that's not everywhere in Alberta. Has anybody ever seen a snake in Alberta? I'm sure glad I'm not hanging out where you are. I had to go to BC to find garter snakes. Never seen a snake before. If you work in a rock quarry, you might be injured by rocks. If you cut wood, there's always the danger of getting hit by the axe. Life is unpredictable. You could drive the same way to work for years with no incident, and then something happens. Just like that. I remember walking in an area of Edmonton by a corner store I went to many times, day or night. One night, a car came around the corner and threw whipping cream or shaving cream at us. Now, how do you prepare for that? I remember one time on the farm being on the forklift feeding bales in the wintertime, and I slipped because of the snow right under the tractor tire. I'd never done that before, and somehow my dad stopped the tractor before driving over me. In Proverbs 26:13, the lazy person claims, "There's a lion on the road." Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. We should not allow fear or the possibility of the unknown to immobilize us from acting, from doing, from being, from living. Verse 11, if you get bit by a snake before it's charmed, that is not a good thing. Part of this points back again to things not being right from leadership on down. The norm is the snake charmer charms the snake, or he would not live very long. Ecclesiastes 10:12-15, words spoken by the wise bring them favor, but lips of fools consume them. The words of their mouths begin in foolishness, and their talk ends in wicked madness. Yet the fool talks on and on. No one knows what it is to happen. Who can tell anyone what the future holds? The toil of the fool wears them out, for they do not even know the way to town. This section has much to say about the fool. They undermine themselves by their own words. Proverbs 10:19, it says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. When we say a lot of things, it's hard to keep track of them all and often reveal more about what we don't know than what we do. When we base our conclusions on false assumptions, the conclusions are not going to be good. It's like going out and spending all your money, and even money that is not yours, in the belief that you'll win the lottery in which you have not bought a ticket for. The fool chatters on and on. Do you know anyone like this? Are you like this? No need to put hands up. As I've gotten older, I hope that I talk a little less and listen a little more than when I was younger. The fool is so exhausted from little work that it's difficult to find the energy to make it back home. The last section, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 16 to 20. Alas for you, O land, when your king is a servant and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is a nobleman and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth, the roof sinks, and through indulgence, the house leaks. Feasts are made for laughter and wine for gladness. Money meets every need. Do not curse the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird in the air may carry your voice, or some winged creature will tell the matter. Or today, somebody might video you. Isn't it great when we have leadership in all areas of society that care more about servanthood than about serving themselves? When this happens, everyone wins. In the book of Kings in the Old Testament, often what separated the good king from the bad kings was the difference between selflessness and selfishness. The good kings followed and depended on the one true God, and the bad kings adapted to the gods of the land that were made of rock, stone, and wood. In verse 16, the princes feast in the morning. Usually, you don't start a party in the morning unless you plan to party all day long. These leaders needed to show discretion, even though they can't afford to party all day and all night. Is this what wise leadership does? Whenever we see people act like spoiled brats, whether millionaire athletes, movie stars, or politicians, and that they're somehow above how everyone else lives, there's usually a backlash. They become out of touch with those who are helping to pay for their lavish lifestyles. Even Tiger Woods found this out the hard way. Back to the fool whose roof is caving in and the house is leaking. Anybody that owns a house knows the longer you have a water problem, the more damage it does. It is not something we put off. It needs immediate attention. What kind of things are needing our immediate attention right now? Verse 19 speaks again of party, laughter, wine, and the money meeting every need. Is that really true? Will money satisfy the longing of our hearts? I think money can help distract us or insulate us from some of the things we don't like and are trying to avoid, but it won't fix the mess. There are some things only a relationship with God can mend. And on top of that, they should have probably used the money to fix the roof so they could stay warm instead of parting. Verse 20, don't think badly of the king in your thoughts, and don't make fun of the powerful in your bedroom because it might get back to them. You would think the two places it would be safe to let it all hang out would be in your mind and in your home. The things we allow in our minds to dwell upon will come to light in one way or another. When we talk about others in unkind ways, the attitude will be picked up by those around us. It's okay to express hurt and disappointment to God and to a trusted friend, but at some point we need to forgive and choose to move forward. In the gospel, Jesus asked the disciples, how many times should we forgive our neighbor? Seven times? This was being really generous by all standards of the time. And Jesus responds by saying, 70 times seven. In other words, forgiveness needs to become a part of our daily DNA. I breathe, I forgive. I eat, I forgive. I go to sleep, I forgive. TV show Mythbusters. Who's seen this? This is a great show. They were filming a show in Los Angeles one time, and they were using a cannon, and they were in an armor area, so it was a safe area. So they were shooting the cannonball. It was about the size of a grapefruit, and they were seeing how far they could shoot it. And so they had pools of water different places to catch the cannonball. But one cannonball did its own thing. It went to the left. It went through some cinder blocks and went about 700 yards east. It kept bouncing, bounced up to a person's house, went right through the front door, bounced right up the stairs, went to the bedroom upstairs, went through that wall, right the size of a grapefruit. It kept going, damaging roofs as it went. It went across six lanes of traffic. Eventually, when it stopped, someone had a Toyota van by their house, and it damaged the van. Boy, the sheriff, when everything came out, the sheriff said, crazy, 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 crazy. You wouldn't think it was possible. The Mythbuster people have a lot of knowledge, or probably lacking a little wisdom in this experiment. It's possible in our culture that we equate the vast amounts of information as wisdom, but this could not be further from the truth. Humanity's belief for centuries has been that with knowledge, we would create a better world. And for many, but has this really been the case? The idea no longer needing a sovereign or all-knowing God. Period of enlightenment from 1715 to 1789. But is the world actually in a better shape? Has knowledge made us kinder and more compassionate in loving our neighbor? And now we have Google. You know what they say about people who have just enough knowledge to make them dangerous? We still have fools all around us. And at times we act this way ourselves, as little has changed through the generations of time. The problem is that if we give someone a mic or a talk show spot, their popularity explodes as many clamor to their voices. But after watching show after show, whose life is really changed? Or is it more about us being entertained? Godly wisdom helps to guide us on when we should speak and when we should be silent. In Christ, we begin to discover that just as Jesus gave his life away for others, he's asking us to do the same thing. Instead of respect being about money, we're more concerned that God is honored through our actions and words. Wisdom is doing the right thing even when it gets us in trouble. I remember when one of my siblings was young, he took a tennis ball. I almost said we. It was not we. I'm telling stories of my siblings. I never did anything like this. There was a tennis ball on a shelf at a hardware store. Once my parents had found out what they had done, they had to go back, embarrassment and all. Today, we're in grocery stores, and you see adults sampling food out of the bulk bins, and they're not even buying any of the product. They call this stealing. It's easy for us to become cynical about those in leadership because of the abuses that are often taken because they feel they're entitled. Recently, in provincial politics, where MLAs were being paid to be on a committee that never met. We may not be able to change the unwise actions of others, but it does not prevent us from doing what is right. Choosing to be loving and faithful in our relationships that are sometimes hard. Honoring and praying for those who God has placed over us. Serving those that we have been placed over. But how we choose to live our lives, we can point to the true wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. Others may not know our intentions or our motives, but God does. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask for the kind of wisdom that helps us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Everything we put our hand to, every thought that passes through our minds, we want to commit to you. When the way is not easy, we pray for strength and a resolve to live the right way, your way. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What is this love that won't relent? That's calling out with heaven's breath. Who's reaching wide to save our souls? Only you. Ooh. What is this grace that makes no sense? That we could never recompense. Who gives us all a second chance? Only you, only you, only you. How bright to shine. Who shaped the world within his hands? Only you. Ooh. Whoa. Who set the sky upon the hills and told the waters to be still? Who spoke to form the universe?
There is no one like our God. separate us from your love. No height or depth can stand between us. No power on earth or all creation. No life or death can separate us from your love. There is no one like our God.
Going to do a couple announcements, the benediction. We're going to sing one more song and be dismissed. Two announcements. One is youth is 6 o'clock this Wednesday, meeting here. Then they go to Aspen and do wild things after that. Also, I know that there are some dessert trays out where the coffee is, if you're so inclined, afterwards. We had the picnic after church last week, and we just had perfect weather for some of our events recently when we were doing work on the church and the picnic. It was a little windy, but for the most part, nice and sunny, and we're grateful for that. Do you know, in life, at times, I don't know what it was like for you. I tell this story when I was 15 or 16, and my mom's not watching this, so I can say this. My mom's 94. My dad's long gone. But I remember being 15 or 16 and thinking, and I'm number 6, and I'm thinking, my parents are really pathetic at this parenting thing. And then becoming a parent myself and realizing, man, if I can get it 50% of the time, it's a coin flip. That's all it is. I had a good day. There are times in our lives where there are people around you, whether family, whether at work, whether church, and you think, boy, that person by now should have some kind of wisdom, but I'm not seeing it. Just having gray hair doesn't bring us wisdom. That's why I shave my head. As you go onto the sign of the cross, knowing it's not power, it's not prestige, it's not money that brings us wisdom. It can only come from God. And it comes gently, one step at a time. As we sing our last song, I'll just get you to stand. And we'll dismiss after the last song.
There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way. We can go there, we can live there, be on time because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears. No more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. All our sins are washed away,
yes, Lord,
and we can live forever. Now we have this hope. There'll be joy everlasting, there'll be gladness, there'll be peace, there'll be wine ever flowing, there's a wedding, there's a feast, because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood, all our sins are washed away, everyone, and we can live forever. And now we have this hope because of you. We'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God, because of you, yes, Lord. Because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood, all our sins are washed away. Thank you, Lord. And we can live forever. And now we have this hope because of you. We'll see you face to face. We will dance together in the city of our God because of you.